coming to you live from the international headquarters of the Christian Research Institute, you're listening to the Bible Answer Man. Your host for the program is Hank Hanegraaff. Our ministry exists to provide answers to you, to give proof of Jesus Christ as our hope of eternal life, because truth matters. As you hear today's program and you're interested in the topics discussed and you'd like to find out more, contact the Christian Research Institute at 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Or visit our website at www.equip.org. And now, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you, Randy. This month, as I mentioned yesterday, is March Madness, not just for college basketball, but also for the Bible Answer Man broadcast. In our current culture, we understand the importance of equipping as many believers as possible to defend their faith. In fact, that is precisely why we've added 14 new stations to our lineup. We're trusting that God will provide the means to continue broadcasting on those new stations. God has not called you listening to my voice, to sit in the stands and then to watch a few select players try to make a difference in the culture. Rather, he has called you to get involved, to join the team, to make a difference. So I am, as it were, calling you out of the stands and into the game. Stop watching. Get involved, especially those of you in our new broadcast areas in San Diego, San Francisco, Seattle, Los Angeles, Denver, Oxnard, New York, Portland, Philadelphia, Cleveland, Orlando, Phoenix, Tampa. On just one station, we will spend $14,000 this month. And that is why I'm asking you to join the Bible Answer Man monthly support team. We need your regular monthly gifts to ensure that this broadcast is able to equip you and others in your area to stand for truth, no matter what the cost. And of course, available to you this month as you give a special flip chart. It's the feet laminated flip chart. It's the second in a series of Hankronym flip charts, and it deals with the resurrection, memorable keys to the greatest feat in the annals of recorded history. It provides a definitive statement on the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the central event in human history. But more than that, it gives you the reasons why we believe that the resurrection is an immutable fact of history, and that the resurrection of Jesus Christ ensures your resurrection as well. Check it out on the World Wide Web at equip.org. When you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And when you talk to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. First up today, Russ, he's listening in Massachusetts and WVNE. Hi, Russ.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. I had a question about Christ on earth as fully God and man. Mm-hmm. And we know he was tempted, as all of us, and did not sin. Mm-hmm. And then secondly, when he went to the cross, he says, "Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do." Now, I wanted to know, did he have the full choice at any time? Could he have sinned, or is being God not sin? And the choice in the cross, could he have brought down judgment and all the angels of heaven and condemned earth and mankind at that time?
Well, remember that Jesus voluntarily laid aside the independent use of his divine prerogatives. But nonetheless, while he humbled himself, taking on the nature of a servant, he was fully divine. But he acted and operated on the basis of the will of his heavenly Father. But yes, Jesus Christ was fully God, and we see him, even in the resurrection, by his own power, laying down his life, and by his own power, taking up his life again, thus demonstrating that he's God in human flesh.
So he was ordained to do that from the beginning and fulfilled that, but did he have the free choice? I'm saying at the cross, could he have ended it right there?
Jesus could have done anything that he wanted to do because Jesus Christ is God. But remember, when we say Jesus Christ is God, the biblical teaching with respect to God is one God revealed in three persons, right, who are eternally distinct. So there's a loving relationship within the Godhead. The Father sends the Son sends the Counselor, the Son prays to the Father. There are loving relationships and volitions that are acting within the Godhead, choosing what will be and who will act. So the Father sends the Son, and the Son voluntarily limits the prerogative of divinity, taking on the limitations of humanity, and therefore he acts at the will of the Father, but nonetheless is fully God, and therefore, as God, can do what God can do, which is anything that is consistent with his nature. But what is inconsistent with his nature is to violate the loving relationship that he has with the Father and the plan that they have ordained from before the foundations of the world.
Okay, so this was preordained, and he was...
Well, preordained not in a fatalistically determinative sense. I mean, the fact that God knows what's going to happen does not either philosophically or biblically dictate that God fatalistically determines what is going to happen. Just as you can know in the rearview mirror what you have done in your life, that does not presuppose that what you have done, or better yet, what you have seen done in the lives of others, is something that you caused. You can look back at something that happened and have complete knowledge of it without having caused it. In God's case, he can look not only backwards, but forwards. So he can know what is going to happen with complete integrity and precision without it being fatalistically determined.
So when he hung on the cross and his Father, why have you abandoned me? When God looked at him as total sin for us, he knew that in advance?
Well, first of all, the notion that God abandoned him is incorrect.
Okay.
In fact, the very words that Jesus Christ appeals to are from Psalm 22, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But if you read the entirety of Psalm 22, you see in verse 24 that God had not forsaken his beloved one. Not only that, you see something far more significant, and that is that Jesus Christ is not sin.
No.
A metonym is being used here. He is the sin offering,
right,
which is to
sacrificial
say
lamb,
that, yeah, he is unblemished. And therefore, even in his sacrifice, he's an unblemished, sweet savor unto God. So he is the sin bearer, but he himself is not sin.
Right.
So had he become sin in any sense, in other words, had he fallen or fantasized for a moment about any temptation, then he could not have been the unblemished God-man. So you have to remember, this is one person with two natures, 100% human and 100% divine, and you cannot separate the natures such that we can say that Jesus Christ could be tempted as we are tempted, but that he could not sin.
Okay.
To have a human nature does not presuppose a sin nature. It does for us, but it doesn't for Jesus. Adam and Eve had genuinely distinct human natures, and yet they were without sin. God had created them with the potential for sin, but they had to actualize that sin by their volitions.
I see. So it was no 50-50 with Christ. He's 100% both ways.
Yes, 100% God, 100% man. I'm going to have to leave it at that, Russ. Great question, and an important question. Virtually every single theological heresy begins with a misconception of the nature of God. And therefore, while we don't want to get stuck in a linguistic hall of mirrors or in our own psycho-epistemological cocoon, because words need explaining. And so it's good to talk through these things because we recognize that the words are necessary, but they do not approach the mystery and the majesty of the God about whom we speak. Yet the words are important because God has condescended to reveal himself in such a way that we can, with our finite, limited resources, have some apprehension of him. We'll be right back.
Islam and Judaism swear that the resurrection of Jesus Christ never happened. Jehovah's Witnesses claim that Jesus' physical body was discarded, destroyed, or dissolved into gases. Jesus Seminar fellows laugh it off as mere wishful thinking. What is the truth? What if Jesus was not raised from the dead? If that's the case, there's no Christianity, no heaven, no hope, and no future. It all boils down to what happened on the third day. Read this riveting account and you'll be equipped with all the key historical facts and irrefutable evidence that point to Christ's resurrection. You can order this important resource by visiting our website at equip.org or by contacting our resource consultants by phone at 888-7000-274. We'll return to the Bible Answer Man after this short break. Don't touch that dial.
Don't all religions lead to God?
What is truth?
Aren't the Bible's views on homosexuality outdated?
What's wrong with Wicca?
Teens question everything. They need real answers. That's why Hank Hanegraaff has come out with the Bible Answer Book for students.
Hank took all the Q&As from Bible Answer Book 1 and 2 that are important to students and came up with real answers that make sense to us.
82 questions on topics that are on the minds of students today about God, the Bible, eternity, even social issues are covered, like stem cell research, capital punishment, homosexuality, and many others.
The Bible Answer Book for students is perfect to share with your non-believing friends, those looking for spiritual answers, with new Christians, or for you.
The Bible Answer Book for Students by Hank Hanegraaff. Order your copy. Call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. It's also available online at equip.org.
Multitudes of Christians have been given a wildly distorted understanding of the biblical teaching about faith. In the late 20th century, Word of Faith teachers such as Kenneth Hagin and Benny Hinn were at the fore.
The Bible declares clearly that faith is a force.
In the early 21st century, they are overshadowed by a new breed of prosperity preachers with rock star platforms like Joel Osteen and Paula White.
God said to challenge the people to give $66.12 according to Psalm 66:12. When you put your faith with the word, then you have mandated results.
Hank gives hope and truth to the millions trapped in the faith movement in his landmark book, Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. To get your copy of Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century, call 888-7000-CRI or go online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the autographed and limited leather editions.
Now, more than ever, today's believer who wants to stay informed on today's religious movements and scriptural insights needs to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal.
This groundbreaking special edition of the Christian Research Journal focuses on a reassessment of the local church movement of Watchman Nee and Witness Lee. Is it cultic, aberrant, or just different? This special edition of the journal includes Elliot Miller's incisive analysis of the doctrine of the Trinity over and against the heresy of modalism. Also enjoy our regular departments like effective evangelism, reviews such as Dr. Stephen Meyer's important book, Signature in the Cell, our viewpoint regarding abortion and the healthcare debate, and our ever-popular Ask Hank.
Call CRI and start your subscription today, 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it online at equip.org.
apart from the resurrection, there's little point of celebrating either Christmas or Easter. Are you able to explain the historical truth of the resurrection to skeptics? Well, this month, for your gift to the Christian Research Institute, Hank would like to send you his new Feet Flip Chart. Presented in memorable form, the Feet Flip Chart is a complete defense of Christ's death and resurrection. Don't delay. Request your copy today by going online to equip.org or by calling one of our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Now back to more of your questions and Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And yes, we'll go right back to your phone calls. Antoinette, listening in Richmond, Virginia, you're next. Hi. Okay, I'm going to go to another caller. I want to go to Frank in Chicago, Illinois. Hi, Frank.
How's it going?
Good. How are you doing?
All right. Yes, I was calling to find out some information. I'm trying to find out the right church to go. I was attending a church where I met my wife in Chicago. They kind of told me that if I don't receive the spirit of speaking in tongues, that I don't have the gift. I've been going there for a while, but I stopped going. I ain't going to church at the moment. I felt uncomfortable in the church because I felt that they were talking a lot about, you know, making lots of money, about, you know, being a millionaire and all that.
And yeah, it sounds like a typical classical Word of Faith church. I wrote about this in a book called Christianity in Crisis, 21st Century. And the problem with these kinds of churches is that they invite people to come to the master's table not because they love the master, but rather because they love what is on the master's table. So it is a method of using God to get what you want, and ultimately casts the gaze of human beings towards earth as opposed to towards heaven. In other words, instead of living with eternity in mind, you live with the notion that you can have everything you want on this earth if you only learn how to harness the word of faith. Because in their view, faith is a force, words are the containers of the force, and through the force of faith, one can create their own reality. So faith is not a channel of living trust between a person and their God. Faith, rather, is faith in our faith. So we believe we can, by virtue of our faith, conjure up or muster up what we want to get what we want in this world. It all depends on us. So that is a prostitution of the true meaning of faith. Again, it's not faith in God, it's faith in our own faith, which in the end is credulity. So you need to find a healthy, well-balanced church.
How do I
you need
that?
To find a Well, we can help you. There are some great churches in your area in Chicago. So if you want to hang on, we can give you some recommendations. But in essence, you need to know what you're looking for, and that is a church that worships God through prayer, praise, and the proclamation of the word. You want a church where you can genuinely feel oneness with other brothers and sisters in the Lord, as depicted by the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12, and then a church that's equipping you to go out and make an impact on the culture.
Okay. What about when somebody says that if you don't speak in tongues that you can't receive the gift?
Well, I think that's dead wrong. The notion that tongues is the evidence of the infilling of the Holy Spirit, I think, is misguided. Now, it's not something that ultimately separates us as brothers and sisters in the Lord, but I think it goes beyond what the Bible says. I think that you could argue, perhaps, that tongues are a evidence, but to say that tongues are the evidence, again, as I said, goes beyond the text of Scripture. Every believer is indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Your temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the temple in which the Holy Spirit dwells. As a believer, you are continuously being infilled, which is to say you're being empowered for service, not by might nor by power, but by his Spirit. So it's important to realize that the infilling is not a act, such as the classical idea of the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, but it's an ongoing infilling. So every time I do the Bible Answer Man broadcast, as a case in point, I pray, Lord, use me not by might nor by power, but by your Spirit. Because with my own might, I might be able to touch a head here and there, but I can never change a heart. Only the Holy Spirit can do that.
Thank you.
Okay?
Okay, thank you very much. Okay, Hank?
You got it, my friend. Want to go back to the phone lines? We'll go to Lola. She's listening in Missouri on Bot Radio. Hi, Lola.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. I just hope you could clear something up for me.
Sure, be happy to.
Well, I've been having a real difficult time with this for a long, long, long time. You know, when God sent three angels to Lot to get his mm-hmm. family out, mm-hmm. and the angels went inside, and the men from the city came and wanted the three men, which they did not know as angels, and Lot didn't know they were angels. So Lot told them, no, not to do that, saying, here, take my daughters and do with them as you please. They're virgins. Now, you know, I really have a difficult time with that.
Well, I'm glad you do. So do I.
Send his daughters out and to keep them from using some strangers.
Yeah. Well, I have the same problem.
Do you? Okay.
Oh, yeah. It's a horrible problem.
And this is every time I read it, I just cry.
Well, yes, and you should. I mean, this is a horrible thing. I mean, I'm the father of 12 children. Of 12.
Oh, my. Okay.
And I cannot for a moment imagine doing what Lot did with one of my daughters.
Yeah, you know?
It is absolutely unconscionable. It's unthinkable. It is wicked beyond imagination. But it is a depiction of how human beings operate when they take matters into their own hands. Which is to say, what happens to human beings is they do not rely on the power of God, but instead, and this is the problem with Lot in general. That's why he's in Sodom and Gomorrah to start with. That's why Sodom and Gomorrah are going to be judged, because Lot is not a change agent in his culture. He has become a microcosm of his culture.
So he's participating too in homosexuality?
Yes. Well, I can't say that. But yeah. What I can say is that he is not changing his culture. And I can say that what Lot did was take matters into his own hands. Here he had two angels under his roof. He had the power of God to stand against evil, but instead he capitulated. Wow. And that is the warning of Scripture to all of us. And we can see that today. I was just reading a story about Neil Clark Warren and eHarmony.com. And I thought, pretty interesting how he capitulated to the gay and lesbian lobby by coming up with a website, Compatibility Partners, for gays to find their perfect match. And I thought to myself, as I thought about this, well, here's a man who got his start through Focus on the Family, became a major star in the Christian world, and now is capitulating to the homosexual lobby. And I thought, well, give him a break. I mean, here's a guy that's built up a multi-million-dollar corporation, and he's going to lose it all because the gays and the lesbians are now going to sue him. Then I went back and started listening to him speak years before the threatened lawsuit, and I saw the seeds of his own destruction in his own words, because he had already capitulated to political correctness. In other words, he took matters into his own hands. And this is why the Bible has such stories in it.
The Bible is saying stand for truth no matter what the cost. The cost may be great. And let me tell you on a personal note, I can tell you as president of the Christian Research Institute, to stand for truth has a cost associated with it. I've been slandered, vilified, misinformation, disinformation. I have lost millions of dollars literally standing for truth. There's a cost to stand for truth, but we are called not to capitulate to the culture, but stand for truth no matter what the cost, because if we don't, there's no need for our service. If we're not going to stand for truth, God doesn't need us, because God can do what he does without human agency. He has condescended to use us, and therefore we better stand for truth and let the chips fall where they may, because God is still sovereign. Be right back.
Easter is just a few weeks away, and do you know what the celebration is really all about? It's more than colored jelly beans and Easter bunnies. Understanding the facts of Christ's resurrection will radically change the way you view Easter, and indeed the way you live your life. For without the reality of Christ's resurrection, there is no hope of heaven, and there is no Christianity. Author Hank Hanegraaff, host of the Bible Answer Man, zeroes in on the most convincing details that irrefutably point to the actual death of Jesus, his empty tomb, and post-resurrection appearances. After reading this book by Hank, you'll be able to defend the reality of the resurrection with passion and precision. You can order Resurrection online at equip.org or by calling our resource consultants at 888-7000-274. If you're leaving us now, you can catch more of the Bible Answer Man on our website at equip.org. For everyone else, stay with us. We'll be back after this short break.
The resurrection is not merely important to the Christian faith. Without it, there would be no Christianity.
Human history was changed forever by what happened on that third day. The Third Day by Hank Hanegraaff defends the resurrection of Jesus Christ in meticulous detail. It contains authentic evidence and factual proof for the resurrection, from Christ's torment on the cross to the empty tomb to his appearances and transformation. If you need tangible proof that the Christian faith is based on evidence and not mere emotion, this resource will be an immense help to you.
Belief in the resurrection is not a blind leap into the dark, but faith founded on fact.
The Third Day by Hank Hanegraaff, available in hardbound or CD. Call 888-7000-CRI to order. 888-7000-CRI. Find out more by going to our website at www.equip.org.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Now, the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers concise and well-crafted answers to over 170 questions that stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the historic Christian faith. This beautiful leather hardbound edition contains all the questions and answers from the Bible Answer Book Volumes 1 and 2, plus all new answers to some of today's tenacious questions such as, does Mormonism really teach that Jesus is the spirit brother of Satan? And did Jesus make a crucial historical blunder in the Gospel of Mark? And that's not all. With each entry, Hank offers scripture references specifically related to the subject matter and recommends resources for further study to better equip you. Get your copy of this attractive 550-page leather hardbound book when you call 888-7000-CRI or order on our secure website at www.equip.org. That's equip.org.
And don't forget to ask about the personalized edition. Join Hank Hanegraaff and top apologists Lee Strobel, Dr. James White, Steve Kreloff, and others as they challenge the skeptics at CRI's national conference, The Battle for the Bible. Worship led by Grammy Award-winning musician Steve Camp. Highlighting this event will be a debate moderated by Hank between Dr. James White and Jesus Seminar scholar Dr. Robert Price. The subject is The Bible True. Plan now to attend The Battle for the Bible, a spectacular event you will not want to miss, May 7th and 8th in Tampa, Florida. For more information, visit us at equip.org or call 877-768-2784, extension 100. Now back to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Absolutely shocked this morning as I read USA Today, the story
of prominent Baptist pastor Oliver Buzz Thomas. He's a member of USA Today's Board of Contributors, and he praises liberal Protestant denominations for the remarkable impact they have exacted on culture from the 1950s to the present. In evidence, here's what he lauds. Among other things, their grand vision for reproductive choice and for rejecting the authority of biblical passages condemning homosexuality. Because from his perspective, the fact that mainline Protestants have championed the deaths of 50 million preborn children since Roe v. Wade is evidence that Christianity is having a positive impact on American culture. Not only so, but this prominent Baptist pastor is positively giddy about the reality that Christians are finally willing to reject the authority of the biblical passages that condemn homosexuality. And that means you and I are in a battle. Are we going to stand for truth no matter what the cost? Are we going to say, no, it's not the culture that defines what's right or wrong? It's the Christ of Christianity, the one who made us and knows how we are designed to operate. Are we going to become microcosms of the culture or change agents in the culture? That's our choice. And I fear that the Christian church is all too ready today to capitulate to the culture. Why? Because if you stand for truth today, you will be vilified and you will pay a price. The question is, are you willing to stand for truth no matter what the costs? I want to go back to the phone lines as we speak to our callers today. Pam, she's listening on XM170 in Virginia. Hi, Pam.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Pleasure.
I hear you. I'm so glad you're on. But one of the questions I have is how it is that we're going to be incorruptible when we get to heaven. And I guess the example I could use is, let's say someone here is saved and repents, but they're a gossip, for instance. How is it that when we get to heaven that we're incorruptible? Or I guess that's how I understand when you say incorruptible. Is there no more, there's no more sin there, so how do we change from being sin nature here and not sin nature there? Or maybe I don't have that right, but that's what I'm trying to figure out.
No, I think you're getting at it, Pam. Let me go back to basics with this. When you become a believer, you are not someone who no longer has a sin nature, but you are one who is covered by the righteousness of Jesus Christ.
Right.
Luther called it being snow-covered dung. Mm-hmm. Pretty graphic illustration.
Right.
So you are still a sinner, but you are positionally declared righteous before God. Now, the Jesus Christ that comes into your life not only justifies you, but he sanctifies you, which is to say he is daily conforming you to his image.
Mm-hmm.
So day by day, you become more and more like Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you never attain perfection in this life.
Right.
That only happens when you practically become what you are now in position after Jesus Christ returns and establishes a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwells righteousness. Then what you are in position now will be practically true, because the soul will return to the body and the body will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And then you will forever be able not to sin. You will have been actualized in your choices. You will then have a complete personal face-to-face relationship with God. You will be able to touch Jesus Christ as the disciples touched him. So you will have intimacy and relationship
with Jesus Christ and be actualized in your choices, because the Bible tells us that nothing impure will ever enter the New Jerusalem, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful,
right,
but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Right. So we're basically transformed at that point as well. By seeing him, we know, I guess you're filled with the goodness then at that point. And
yeah,
and
you'll have made your choice. Right. You've already made your choice in this life.
Right.
You and therefore you have everlasting life, but you still live in a cursed creation with cursed bodies.
Right.
You know, and cursed minds.
Right.
You know, the mind is depraved and sinful. The body is wearing out. The universe is groaning in travail. It's waiting for liberation from all of those things. And what the Bible teaches us is that when Jesus Christ returns in the future, that he will put all things to right. He'll deal with the problem of sin, the problem of Satan, so we won't have the world, the flesh, and the devil to tempt us.
Okay.
And we will forever have a relationship with the one that we have already committed ourselves to. And then we will have more knowledge than we have now, because then we will see face to face. Now we see darkly.
Okay. Okay, great. That makes sense to me. I was just having a trouble getting over that threshold. And how
well, that's
we
why we're
it.
Here. It's,
exactly.
it's great to talk to you.
Thanks so much.
Bless you. Want to go to Chantrell, listening on KKLA in Livingston, California. Hi, Chantrell.
How you doing, sir?
I'm doing good. How are you?
All right. It's good to talk to you.
Likewise.
I just had a question about the Old Testament pseudepigraphal books. Are they okay to read? Are they? Would they help a Christian better understand who God is or his plan or anything like that?
Well, here's how I would frame the argument. First of all, my experience, and I've done this show for over two decades, my experience is that I can't get most people to read the Bible. Most people are biblically illiterate. And so we have 66 love letters etched in heavenly handwriting, and yet we're leaving them on the mantle, not taking them down, they're gathering dust. So the first priority is get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you. Now, if you have made a discipline out of that practice, then perhaps there are pseudepigraphal books that might be efficacious for you. In fact, even apocryphal books that are quoted in the Bible that you might get some benefit from. But I would say until you have mastered the Word of God, why go to these kinds of secondary sources except as already quoted in the Bible? For example, Jude quotes from the book of Enoch and possibly from the Assumption of Moses, and Paul quotes from the pagan poets. So there's nothing wrong with being informed and having these books help you, but I would say that first go to the primary source. God has given you his word, the infallible repository of redemptive revelation. Focus on the majors before going to the minors.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
fair enough.
Yes, sir.
Makes sense.
Just one more quick question, if I can.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I've been told for many years that there was a rapture, a pre-trib rapture. And then mm-hmm. I heard you say something like last week, I think it was, that that wasn't true or something like that.
Well, what I've said is the timing of the tribulation, the meaning of the millennium, the whole question of whether there's a pre-tribulational rapture or whether, as Christians believed prior to the 19th century, that the rapture slash resurrection and the second coming of Jesus Christ are simultaneous events, that's something we can debate vigorously. Ultimately, we don't have to divide over. But no, personally, I do not believe in this idea that came along in the 19th century of a secret coming followed 7 years later by a second coming. Nor do I believe that people can be saved after the second coming of Jesus Christ. Nor do I believe that there's a semi-golden age for 1,000 years with a rebuilt temple and reinstituted temple sacrifices with Christ presiding over those temple sacrifices and with those temple sacrifices supposedly being efficacious for sin. I don't believe that. And I've written about that in my book, the Apocalypse Code, which is available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can hear for the music. I'm coming up to a station break. I've got to go away for just a few minutes, and I'll be right back with more of your questions, so please don't touch that dial.
Hank Hanegraaff has answered thousands of questions while hosting the Bible Answer Man broadcast, which reaches millions of people. The complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition offers answers to over 170 questions that typically stumble seekers and galvanize skeptics against the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Get your copy of this 550-page leather hardbound book packed with answers you need to more of today's challenging questions about the Bible and Christianity when you call 888-7000-CRI. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy. Order on our secure website at www.equip.org. We'll return to the program in just a few moments.
Outside of the holy words of Jesus and the Holy Spirit-inspired writings of the Bible, the words of men such as Augustine, Martin Luther, and Jonathan Edwards have most stirred the Christian church throughout history.
I seek an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade.
Now, these timeless works have been captured on CD by master storyteller Max MacLean in a collection called Classics of the Christian Faith. This high-quality compilation contains five of the greatest works by five of the greatest leaders of church history. It will enhance your Christian walk and give you a new appreciation for our rich heritage.
My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God help me.
Classics of the Christian Faith CD Collection, narrated by Max MacLean. To order, simply call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. Find it on our website at equip.org.
A global catastrophe is just hours away, and only one man can stop it. In his hands, he holds the fuse of Armageddon. Fuse of Armageddon, the riveting novel by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. Call 888-7000-CRI to order. Hostage negotiator Mulvaney Quinn must come face-to-face with his past in order to stop the worst terrorist threat of all time, a plot to bring about the ultimate uprising by destroying one of the most sacred relics in history. Only Quinn can stop an unholy trinity of evil from achieving this goal. But will he be in time? Or is it already too late? The entire world hangs in the balance, and failure means Armageddon. Fuse of Armageddon, the explosive novel by Hank Hanegraaff and Sigmund Brouwer. To order, call 888-7000-CRI. You'll also see it on our website at equip.org.
Now available for a special discounted price. When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. To successfully defend the historic faith and be equipped as a light in this too often dark world, you need CRI's award-winning publication, Christian Research Journal, which probes today's religious movements, promotes doctrinal discernment and critical thinking, and provides reason for Christian faith and ethics. Call CRI and start your subscription today. Call 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online on our safe and secure website at www.equip.org. Once again, here's the host of the Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And a quick reminder before we go back to the callers that this is March Madness, not in the basketball sense, but in the sense of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. From a human perspective, it's mad. We have expanded the broadcast dramatically throughout the United States and Canada, indeed around the world. We need you to stand with us. We have felt very strongly led of the Lord. This is not the time to pull in our horns, but to expand the outreach of the ministry. It is needed as never before. If you can stand with me this month, you can send your gift to the Christian Research Institute at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as a thank you for your gift, I'd like to send you Resurrection, Memorable Keys to the Greatest Feat in History. It gives you what you believe and why you believe it with respect to the greatest feat in the annals of recorded history. It's in a flip chart form. This is the cornerstone of your own faith and the assurance that you too will rise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. So again, the flip chart is my way of saying thank you. You can also give on the World Wide Web at equip.org or speak with our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. Back to the phone lines. Sheila, listening on Bot Radio in Missouri. Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Hank. I thank you for taking my call.
Pleasure.
This is probably going to be a very unusual question, but I've tried to read the Bible, read little booklets, go to church and get in groups, and I cannot retain the information. Is God going to look down upon me? And is it a sin not to be able to remember what I'm trying to read and get it into my heart and my soul?
Well, Sheila, God is not going to judge you for not using my talents, and God is not going to judge me for not using your talents. God has given each of us time, talent, and treasure, and we need to use the talents that He has given us to the full. So first of all, be faithful with what God has given you. But second, let me say this to you, Sheila, do not underestimate your own abilities. I've had my wife say this to me many times, that I cannot memorize or retain information like you can retain information and memorize the Bible. What I found out, quite frankly, in spending time in devotions with my wife and intimacy with my wife is that so often she understates her capabilities. In other words, she is far more adept at these things than she gives herself credit for. And that may be the same thing with you as well, Sheila. And you have to remember that the mind is like a muscle. If you don't exercise it, it will atrophy. If you exercise it, it will increase in its usability. I mean, I can say the same thing. I look at my sons right now, and they're just chiseled like out of granite. But they're in the weight room working out. They're doing cardio exercises. And as a result of that, they're absolutely physical specimens. I wouldn't say all of them, but certainly some of them are physical specimens. And I look at them, and I just think, there is no way I can ever get my body back into that shape.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is they're pushing me, and I have an inkling that this year might be a breakthrough year for me, and I might be able to hit the ball 50 yards farther than I used to hit it because I'm going to develop my core again. So I think we can do things we don't think we can do. We just need to have accountability and someone to push us. So here's what I would recommend, that you find someone that you can memorize with.
Okay.
And you set a very small attainable goal. Really small. So say something like this. I'm going to memorize a verse this month. Well, I guarantee you can do that, Sheila. But let's say you say, well, that's too small. But I think this is the problem. Sometimes we set goals that are unreachable, unattainable. We fail at the goal, and then we say, that's another unfinished monument. I just can't do it, and we give up. But if you set small, attainable goals, you can start building some momentum.
Okay, because I know I'm supposed to minister, and I have somebody that I work with on a daily basis, and I I get so far in knowing what to do, and I know what's right, but then I get so far into saying it, and then they'll ask me a question, and I can't even come up with another verse to keep it going. And it's very frustrating that I cannot even minister the proper way.
But you can, Sheila. I mean,
it just bugs
look,
me to
you can. You just
can't do it.
Well, you can do
so
more than you think you can.
And everybody can see that I'm that way, but I can't talk it. I can't remember everything, and then they look at me, well, maybe you don't know everything. Well, maybe you don't know. Well,
yeah.
And I have the Amplified Bible. Is that a bad Bible?
It's not one of my favorites.
Okay,
it's not one that I would recommend.
What am I supposed to get then? Maybe that's where I should start.
Well, I have one that I recommend. It's called the Legacy Study Bible.
Okay.
And it also gives you a great Bible reading plan. But Sheila, don't give up on yourself. I mean, you are a very gracious, articulate lady. You are speaking just so clearly. You're a great communicator. Don't underestimate your abilities. Build on them. You can do it.
Oh, sometimes, if you go to church and you can't even focus and understand what's going on to a little group, the session group, a Bible study.
That's okay,
Sheila.
That's okay. It's okay. No, it's okay, truly. Just keep trying.
You're right. I do want to quit.
Don't quit. Don't quit. Keep trying. You can do it. I have confidence in you. I can hear from your ability to articulate thoughts that you have the ability. It's latent within you. Keep trying. And if you don't know, I mean, just be transparent with people like you're being transparent with me and keep trying. God will give you the grace and you'll be able to build. Take those little steps and keep building. You will be able to do a whole lot more than you think. God has given you the ability. He's also given you the command. I mean, do not let these words depart from your mouth. Meditate on them day and night. So just set small, attainable goals. You can do it. I got to move on. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to, I'm going to try Antoinette again in Richmond, Virginia. We got a lot of static last time I tried to talk to you. Are you there?
Yeah. Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for taking my call. I've really been into the Word of God and reading 2 Samuel chapter 2, verses 15 through 18, and I know David's men went to Lake, I believe Gibeon or Gideon, and the Bible says they turned to one another and they slew one another. And I didn't understand if that was symbolic or if that was literal. I didn't understand why they would do that.
Yeah, it could be symbolic. I mean, Abner was David's rival from the beginning of his reign, and so the fight between David and Abner's men or soldiers appears to have been an attempt to settle the question of royal succession. Sometimes, certainly in ancient cultures, you had what's called representative combat. It was used to discern or divine the divine will of God. And individuals would fight as representatives for their respective armies, and whoever won in that representative fight would be indicative of the divine will of God. And perhaps that was what is going on in this particular case, because you can see in the context of this passage that the fight goes on in earnest outside of this representative battle. So this might be what's going on there.
Okay. And thank you. Well, I did have another question, if that's okay.
Well, it is okay, except for one small detail, and that is I'm out of time and have to close the broadcast. So if you'll hang on, we'll see if we can take your question off the air.
Sure.
I do want to say to everybody listening in right now that I am going to stay on right here for an extra hour. So once we go off the air, I will continue right here in the studio for an extra hour. So if you're hanging on, please be patient. I'll try to get to your call. And if you're dialing in, here's the number in the U.S. or Canada. Simply dial 888-ASK-HANK right now with your question. That translates to 888-275-4265. And please remember to pray for this ministry. We're on the front lines. We're not compromising. We're not being politically correct. We're standing for truth no matter what the cost. We need you to stand with us. You can do that on the World Wide Web at equip.org. And when you write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, you can do so by speaking to our resource consultant, 888-7000-CRI. Out of time. We'll see you next time with more of the show.
Get ready to set sail for the adventure of a lifetime. Don't miss our Western Caribbean cruise May 9th through 16th. Sailing out of Tampa Bay, Florida, you'll join Hank Hanegraaff and award-winning Christian musician Steve Camp for 7 packed days of worship and study on board the stately Carnival Legend. Incredibly low rates include all conference fees, accommodations, and dining. Dates in May make it a perfect way to honor mothers or celebrate special graduates. So for more information or to register today, go to our website at equip.org or call our friends at Sovereign Cruises at 877-768-2784, extension 101. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York.
In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth.
With sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. Master the main and plain things of historic Christianity in minutes and remember them for a lifetime. Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine is a user-friendly guide to doctrines that form the dividing line between the Kingdom of Christ and the Kingdom of the Cults using the hankronym DOCTRINE. D stands for Deity of Christ, O for Original Sin, C for Canon of Scripture, T for Trinity, R for Resurrection, I for Incarnation, N for New Creation, and E for Eschatology. To order Memorable Keys to Essential Christian Doctrine in an accessible, fully laminated, and easy-to-use flip chart that you can use to communicate boldly and confidently with precision and clarity, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to www.equip.org. That's equip.org.